You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, I have got to warn you that now that things are starting to bloom,
yes,
and pollen is beginning to coat my red car to make it look green and yellow.
It's so beautiful outside.
It's horrible. I can't stand it. I'd much rather it be fall with things falling off the trees and all the pollen and all the bugs go away. Yeah. Springtime, you know.
Cold air.
Springtime is pretty. But if I want pretty, I'll go to a museum and look at a pretty springtime picture. Because
it's getting warm outside.
Yeah. It's also my head's kind of starting to swirl and my ears are starting to get stopped. Are you an allergy sufferer, Mike?
Sometimes. I have noticed in the last couple of years I have mine, but this year, nothing. Fine. Perfect.
Well, I don't know about perfect.
And it's beautiful outside.
Well, let me just tell you that thanks to something I was introduced to some years ago called a neti pot. You ever heard of a neti pot before?
No.
Neti pot is a warm saltwater nasal rinse. And by doing that every day, I have kept myself from getting sinus infections. Didn't know this was a medical show, by the way.
Wow.
Did you? But yeah,
no.
So I haven't had a sinus infection in 8 years. I ditched my asthma medication. I ditched all of my allergy medication just by doing this once a day, every day, 365 days a year. However, when the pollen comes out in the spring, when the ragweed comes out in the fall, I still occasionally suffer what I like to label the allergy-induced coma. And I am really fighting right now against the allergy-induced coma. So in order to make this edition of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser a little bit less than comatose, I have brought myself here into the studio a Quick Trip cup of coffee.
Ah.
So if you will indulge me for just a second, Maestro, as I try to caffeinate my brain cells.
He's doing that while I tell you that you're listening to The Doctor Is In. And here is Dr. Robbie Romeiser.
That was so good, I got to do that again. Hold on a second. I might be doing that multiple times today, so just be prepared. Yes, this is Dr. Robbie Romeiser with the Career Callings Radio Show, going after your medical health of your career. I guess did that sound right? That sounded good. That had absolutely nothing to do with what the show's about. What are we here for? We are here to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Now, the other day, I was reading in the book of Exodus, and I had the strangest thought while reading Exodus 37:6. In the blink of an eye, I imagined myself as a fly on the wall. Some people might say I actually look like a fly, but hopefully that's not true. But I imagine I was a fly on the wall watching a guy named Bezalel, and who I've mentioned before on the program many times, going about the work God had entrusted him to do. See, he was about to craft the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus chapter 37, and that, of course, was the very throne upon which God would sit while visiting his people. And I was kind of imagining as I was reading Exodus 37 that I was this fly on the wall and I was watching Bezalel, and as he was approaching the workbench to begin building the throne of God on earth, I imagined that for just a second he paused and shuddered, hesitated, looked about himself with fear and uncertainty on his face as he wondered whether or not he was truly qualified to build the throne of God. Then he had remembered, I imagined, what God had told him through Moses. Because, you see, God himself had given Bezalel the ability to accomplish this great work, and God himself had actually said that in previous chapters there. So I imagined that on Bezalel's face, a grin of realization illuminated. And at that moment, the expert craftsman decided that if God had enabled him to do the work, then he could do it. The moment of doubt passed, I imagined, and Bezalel launched into his work with the greatest of care, confidence, and diligence. Now, when I was kind of imagining that, reading that, it kind of dawned on me that Bezalel's experience, if it went that way, and it may not have, maybe he had no moments of doubt. I'm just imagining what could have happened there. But if he had indeed experienced a moment of doubt, he would be so, like so many Christians throughout the ages who have been tasked by God with a particular work, a particular call, and their immediate response was, I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I can't talk well enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the right package of skills and abilities to do this. And that is such a common reaction so many of us had, myself included, to a call or a burden that God has given us. So the funny thing is that from man's perspective, such a statement like that sounds pretty humble. I mean, it sounds like you're not being arrogant, you're acknowledging your weaknesses, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds really good to human ears. But the problem is, from God's perspective, it sounds terribly arrogant. And as Exodus 4:14 proves, God gets a little testy with us when we respond to his call with words like, you've got the wrong guy, or something like, I don't possess the right skills and abilities. Because see, back in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, God was giving Moses his call and his burden to be the leader for the nation of Israel, to lead them out of the nation of Egypt, the land of Egypt. And Moses was giving God all kinds of excuses like, how are they going to follow a guy like me? But God responded to Moses' objections with anger. Not with, oh, you're such a humble guy. He was mad at Moses for responding that way. Because when you argue with God that you know yourself better than God knows you, that you're not prepared or able to do the burden that God has obviously given you, then you're telling God that you know better than he does. When you fight that call, when you fight that burden. And there's no way you or I are going to win an argument with the all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent God. We're just not going to do that. So we might as well just quit trying. When God gives us a call, when God gives us a burden, we don't need to hesitate. We don't need to fear. We need to trust. And we need to go wholeheartedly after that which he has instructed us to do. Taking the next baby step in the direction he wants us to take. And trusting him for trusting you with that burden. And my challenge to you right now is this. If God has given you a call, given you a burden, and you have thrown back in his face excuses like, I'm not smart enough, I can't do that, I don't know how to do that, well, take those things back. Quit throwing those things into God's face, because you're not going to win that argument. He's going to stay after you until you finally realize what Moses realized. You're going to do God's will, God's way, whether you like it or not. So you might as well go ahead and stop fighting it. And enjoy the benefits of obedience now rather than the consequences of disobedience until such time as you get around to obeying. You know what I'm saying, Maestro? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. I think we all have been there, and we all need to stop staying there. All right. Now, let's have another edition. We haven't had an edition of Stupid Business Decisions in a while, Maestro. So if you don't mind, cue up Weird Al.
Operationalize our strategies. Invest in world-class technology and leverage our core competencies in order to holistically administrate exceptional synergies.
Sorry, Maestro. It was time for another caffeine kick for the brain cells. I was starting to, even though I like that song, I love that song, as a matter of fact. I was struggling there for just a second. The coma was coming back. So
I like the song better than the slurp.
Yeah, the slurp might get a little old after a while, but, you know, sometimes it's a necessary evil. What can I say? I ran across this article the other day. 4 reasons staying in a job you hate will make you poorer. I thought that was an interesting headline. So, that is a stupid business decision that many of us make. And never really thought about some of the things that were mentioned by this author. This author writing for Money Smart. And it was actually an article that it was written in the country of Singapore, written by someone there. And the 4 reasons they came up with were pretty interesting. Basically, number one, stress. Never underestimate the power of stress to make you spend money you shouldn't be spending. And that was the whole gist of it. These stressful jobs that you hate may end up making you spend so much money that you actually blow all the money that you're making. Thing number one was stress. Never underestimate the power of stress to make you spend money that you don't need to be spending. For example, being stressed out and starved for time 24/7 prompts you to spend more in order to gain convenience and stop suffering so much. And the point was, if you're working 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day, 12 hours a day, you're going to spend a lot more money buying food out, a lot more money maybe hiring people to clean your house rather than you clean it for yourself, et cetera, et cetera. Not that those things are bad, and if you can afford to do it, that's great. But the point was, a lot of people who are earning marginal good money with a lot of hours try to make up those many hours by hiring things out that they really ought not to be doing because they can't really afford to do it. So that's number one. Number two, it causes you to spend more money on yourself to feel better. If you feel awful because you're working all the time at a job you hate, you're very likely to treat yourself to quote-unquote treats, whether it be food or vacations or whatever, that you would not be treating yourself to if you were in a job that was more agreeable with you. But you feel like you deserve to have more. And because you're working so hard, and therefore you spend a lot of money that maybe you ought not be spending on those creature comforts. Stops you from bettering yourself and growing your money. If you're so busy working, you may not have the time to really learn how to invest your money. And you may not take the time to invest in yourself through continuing education. And then finally, it might make you more sick. There are plenty of studies indicating that stress definitely causes illness, and so you'll spend a lot more money on both medical and maybe even psychiatric care that you would not otherwise be involved with if you weren't so depressed all the time. And on the other side of the break, I promise to be a little bit more optimistic. Come on back to Career Call.
Hi, I'm Ed Stetzer.
Hi, I'm John Stonestreet.
And we are Breakpoint this week. We're going to have conversations about culture and about context and about mission.
It's your weekly briefing on what's going on in the world and how to understand it from a Christian worldview in light of the mission of Jesus Christ.
Ed Stetzer joins John Stonestreet. It's an all-new Breakpoint this week with John, Ed, and guests every weekend right here.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
All right, I'm in studio here today with Dr. Jerome II of Palmetto Proactive Healthcare. Doctor, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus helping your business?
Palmetto Proactive Healthcare is a direct primary care clinic. We don't contract with insurance companies. Our patients are all self-pay. There's 2 ways to engage our practice, either a la carte or membership. Teach Me Morpheus will benefit our patients by providing an opportunity to educate our patients outside the clinic. For example, if I see you for a sinus infection and realize you forgot to ask me something, Teach Me Morpheus can have one of our videos for sinus infection that you click, you can go through my instructions. We'll basically become a 24/7 resource for our patients.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
When Marlon Shirley was 5, he lost his foot. Today, as the world's fastest amputee, he runs the 100 meters in less time than it takes. Don't listen to this. Overcoming. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than 18 grand a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
All right, I'm in studio here today with Dr. Jerome II of Palmetto Proactive Healthcare. Doctor, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus helping your business?
For example, if I see you for a sinus infection and you realize you forgot to ask me something, Teach Me Morpheus can have one of our videos for sinus infection that you click, you can go through my instructions. We'll basically become a 24/7 resource for our patients.
To learn more, check out teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's teachmemorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Maestro, are you living the dream today?
Funny you should ask, because...
Oh, no.
I usually tell my wife, when I'm in the studio with you, it's like a field of dreams.
Field of dreams? Field of nightmares is more like it, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It is a dream in here.
I don't pay you enough to say that. But hey, man, maybe I should pay you more. That was a pretty good answer.
That would be a great idea.
That would be a great... That would really make you live the dream, wouldn't it, pal? Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Rowemeiser, and our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Email Robbie at careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now, one of the things I do on a regular basis for people is something called the Career Direct Assessment Counseling Session. The Career Direct Assessment was something that was created roughly 30 years ago now by the late Larry Burkett. He oftentimes was counseling with people about counseling with Christians about their financial situation, and on many occasions, those issues financially had their root in the fact that people were in a vocation that they were not matched well with. And it's safe to say that a good rule of thumb is if you are doing a fantastic, excellent job in something, which is typically what you tend to do if you're in a good career match because you're motivated to do that thing well and you're naturally wired to do that thing well. Typically, if you do an excellent job in your workplace, you are worth more financially, therefore you make more money. Now, of course, being in a good financial standing isn't just a matter of how much you earn, it's also a matter of how much you spend and save. But basically, Larry Burkett came up with the idea of the Career Direct Assessment in order to help people understand what kind of work God designed people to engage in. And for example, I'm a horrible singer. I've got no singing talent whatsoever. If I tried to get into the singing industry, I would never do it well, and I would never make any money at it because I would stink at it. Having said all that, a lot of people are wired to be in an office setting. That's where they thrive. That's where they are energized. Other people thrive outdoors in careers related to outdoor work. And I ran across an article on USA Today called 7 Non-Office Jobs That Are in High Demand. So I wanted to speak to those people who aren't office people, who are outdoorsy people, naturally wired to love the outdoors. And I wanted to kind of give you an idea what these 7 high demand non-office jobs are. And if you want to learn more about them, feel free to come to careercallings.net/radio, where I will link to this USA Today article on my web site that pertains to today's broadcast. So the first one in the list, wind turbine service technicians. Now, as there's a continual push towards non-fossil fuel energy sources, although I think we will never get away from fossil fuels, and I hope we don't, because I think that's probably the cheapest and best way to generate energy. Nonetheless, there are a lot of people still moving towards things like wind turbine power and solar power and so on. So as more and more people go the wind turbine route, there's a greater and greater need for wind turbine service technicians. The job growth expectation is about 108% job growth over the next several years. The average salary for someone who does something like this is just under $52,000 per year. And the education required is some college, but no degree. And no degree typically is required, but a little bit of college doesn't hurt. Now, the thing I noticed about this particular job is, Maestro, you have to be okay with heights. If you're afraid of heights, you don't want to do this, because I'm looking at the picture on this article, and this guy on the top of this wind turbine has to be hundreds of feet in the air overlooking a landscape that is gorgeous. But if you are afraid of heights, you don't want to do this, because $52,000 a year is not enough to go up one time, let alone every day. That's number one. Number two, Commercial divers. That kind of struck me interestingly, because one of my pastor's children just finished school to be a commercial underwater welder. That's a type of job you can hold as a commercial diver. So underwater welding is what that particular gentleman's going to be doing, but there's also underwater drilling. There's also underwater photography and repair and equipment inspections, all kinds of different things that are available to underwater professional commercial divers. The job growth expectation is just under 37% over the next several years. $51,000 a year on average is the salary. And some post-secondary education is required, but not necessarily from college. It can be a specific training setup like what my pastor's son went through just recently. Next in the list is ambulance driver and attendant. 33% job growth expected over the next several years. Average salary, a little bit lower than the other two I've just mentioned, just over $25,000 a year. But you can get into that field with a high school diploma or GED with little or no problems there. So that's an option there. Personal financial advisors. Even though you'll spend some time in an office as a personal financial advisor, you'll be able to get out of the office quite a bit to talk to clientele. And if you specialize in business financial management, you've got that option there too. Job growth, just under 30% several years. Average salary, just over $108,000 a year. So that's not too shabby. Education required, a bachelor's degree of some kind. Next on the list is, now I'm going to be, I think I can say this word, Maestro. I'm just curious if you can actually spell it. Not that I want you to, but cartographer and photogrammetrist. Can you spell either of those? Don't try to. Just tell me if you think you can.
Oh, sure. You just have to tell you that?
You should not be lying on Christian Talk Radio like that. You should see his fingers crossed over there, guys. That's pretty awful. A cartographer is someone who makes maps, in case you didn't know that. And believe it or not, there are still plenty of people who need to make maps. Of course, not only for GPS systems, but also for the good old-fashioned paper maps. Photogrammetrists use various technologies to build models of the Earth's surface and features with the intent of creating very specialized map. So that's pretty interesting. 29% job growth expected over the next several years. Average salary, just under $65,000 a year. Education required, bachelor's degree. Now, the next one in the list kind of hits home for me a little bit. That is the hearing aid specialist. Both of my... Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at me?
Why would that grab your attention?
Why would that grab... I am going to shame you with my answer. Both of my older children were born with a hearing loss.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And when they were both... Yeah, you didn't know that. Don't you feel shamed?
I do.
You should.
Getting under the desk.
That's right. That's right. No, seriously, they were both born with a hearing loss. My third child was born with great hearing, but my two older children were born with moderate to severe hearing loss. When they were both younger, they both had hearing aids for a time. technically, they still ought to have the hearing aids, but when they were both about three, we took the hearing aids off just to test the waters, and in both instances, they have excelled in their schooling. They can hear well enough to function without the hearing aids. I suspect someday they very well both may need to get them again. But in their early development years, they had them. And since that time, you'd never know it to speak to them. Their speech is fine, not been impeded at all. They have both straight-A students. But you can tell you have to speak a little bit more loudly to them at times. And interestingly, this is how God moves in our lives. Both of my kids hear the male voice range just fine. It's the female voice range and higher pitches that they struggle with. While I was a stay-at-home dad when both my older children were in their preschool years.
Wow.
And then right after my third child was born, my wife came home and I went full-time in a different world. So it's interesting how the Lord planned it out so that I could be home when the two kids who could hear a male voice just fine could hear me and help develop their speech.
Wow.
Whereas with my wife, if my wife had been home, I don't think it would have worked out so well, with that, at least in that regard. Hearing aid specialists, 27% growth over the next several years, average salary just under $48,000 per year, and a high school diploma or equivalent is all you need to get into that business. Last one on the list here, number seven, forensic science technicians. Now, if you are one of the most beloved television shows on TV right now is NCIS. I guess they have a lot of forensic stuff on there. They'll have a forensic. Have you ever watched that thing?
Basically, what it's about.
My wife and my older daughter just eat that thing up. I don't really get into it.
Well, they do have forensic. I was thinking of CSI.
CSI. But NCIS. Yes, but they do have a forensic person
Navy.
On there. Yeah.
The Navy,
but they do have a forensic.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting. And according to this article, there seems to have been a growth in the forensic science world because of popular shows like this. But this average job growth here for this industry is projected at just under 27% over the next several years. Average salary for someone that acts or works as a forensic scientist is just under $59,000 a year, and a bachelor's degree is required to get into that field. So some interesting things. Seven non-office jobs that are in high demand, and maybe one of those is interesting to you. Now, if you do want to research those a little bit more, two things. Number one, as I mentioned earlier, feel free to come to careercallings.net/radio to go ahead and read that article in full, but also go to onetonline.org, onetonline.org, and I have a link to that website on careercallings.net as well. And that is a website that gives you great detail about pretty much any kind of vocation you can think of, helping you understand salary ranges, what kind of things they do on a daily basis, what kind of training you need to be able to do that thing, and so on and so forth. All right. One last thought before we wrap up today's show. Just want to kind of point out to you that the Lord always provides for us. Some years ago, a colleague of mine as a missionary was looking for a toolbox. And long story short, he couldn't afford the one he wanted until they found in the retail store a toolbox stuck away in the warehouse that had been sitting there for months because of a dent. And the original price of that toolbox was nearly $1,000, if memory serves. And that retailer was able to give it to the missionary for his budget of $100 because it was the last one in the warehouse and was all dented up and nobody else wanted it. So when you pray for something, the Lord may or may not give it to you, but in that case, he did, and it just shows you how good he is to us in the big things and the small. Come back for another edition of Career Callings next week.